Okay. All right. So, one of the joys in life is getting the things you want. Stuff. And I know this joy pretty well. This is coming from a man who owns 463 board games. Stuff. Stuff like driving the coolest car. Jaguar, Porsche, Maserati. Or like getting the total attention of somebody you admire. Like the long holiday on a tropical island that you've been dreaming of. And Cindy and I went to the Maldives for our honeymoon.
Wow.
That's me. You probably couldn't recognize me. I was better looking then. So small. Okay, so we are in this resort that serves some of the most delicious food we have ever eaten. And everything is prepared for us. And every day we just have to wake up and enjoy the sunshine and the island. And we loved it. At the end of our stay there, Cindy asked me, "Do you think we'll ever come back again?" And I paused and said, "It would be nice. I don't think we can afford this anymore." And she sighed. And then I added, "Yeah, maybe one day when we are really old." I don't think that helps either. You see, when Cindy and I have decided to leave banking and follow God's call to serve Him in a different way, we knew life would change. Yet this holiday on the island was something special, something we have set aside for one another. Still, it's very difficult to know that you never experience something so good again. Once you have tasted the best, you never look back. For example, if you have tasted Malaysian curries, you could never go back to the cheap and average alternative like the Indonesian. Oh, the Indians. Okay, I'll stop there. You get a picture, okay? But yet, the greatest joy, we have a debate later, okay? Yet, often the greatest joys in life is more about keeping what you already have rather than searching for the things you don't have. We don't know how precious something is to us until we no longer have it. There's an old song goes like this: "You don't know what you have until you lose it." Imagine waking up to total darkness. You're no longer able to see. Imagine you're no longer able to speak, hear, or walk. Life would change. Ask someone who has lost their pet, their dog, rabbit, or their loved ones. I remember one of the darkest moments in my life. Yes, there are many. When I lost my mother 8 years ago, I was in really bad shape. I struggled with returning to my normal routine, and until this day, I can still see and feel that moment when I was crossing the road in a busy financial district with people passing me by in all kinds of directions, yet I only heard silence. The people were moving in slow motion. This was me in shock, knowing full well whom I have lost. The woman who knew me, loved me, and cared for me selflessly and unconditionally. Since then, my life changed. There are moments when I wish she's still here. She would have loved to play with Zachary. I wouldn't mind her nagging at me again for the great joy of seeing her face to face. So in this letter, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, after being separated from them for 2 years, Paul longed to see the Thessalonian again, but the people who opposed the gospel stopped him. They wanted to kill him. So Paul had to send Timothy there instead. Not only Paul, longs to see the Thessalonians, he also longs to see that they are well. It would be more difficult to see somebody who is not doing very well, especially when you care for them a lot. You kind of wish you were there for them. So when Timothy brought the good news that the Thessalonians have remained strong in the faith, in spite of people attacking them, Paul is really, really, really happy, overjoyed. This is the answer to Paul's prayer. For Paul did not pray for the Thessalonians to have lots of stuff. He did not pray for their dream vacation or their successful careers or that they meet the perfect person. From verse 10, night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again so that Paul can help them to grow in maturity in their faith. His chief concern is for the Thessalonians' faith in Jesus. My friends, the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all about the God who is dying to see us. Sorry, no pun intended. God knows he has lost us to sin and he longs to be reunited with us in Jesus at the cross. God paid the great cost of making sure not only he will see us again, face to face again, but that we are also well. God is concerned with your well-being right here, right now, not at a future date. So how are you doing? Are you living well, my friends? What is living well? So would you turn to the person next to you and just share what living well means as a student at UTS? Okay, just quickly, yeah. All right, let's come back, okay? We can talk more about it. I'm sure there's a lot of interesting things to talk about. Okay, depending on who you ask, living well means different things to different people. If you ask a pilot, living well means have sufficient sleep so that he's able to fly a plane. If you ask a surgeon, living well means having empathy but not being emotional when she performs surgery on her patient. If you ask an UTS student, living well means being prepared for exams and completing all assignments in time, right? Depending on how you see your purpose at this point in your life, you think you're doing fine when you meet your purpose successfully, right? Make sense? But here's the problem. Our purpose in life is greater than being a pilot, a surgeon, a student, or any roles in life. When you reduce your purpose to these, you are making yourself less than human. I remember this time, there was a time I was at a McDonald's outlet in Hong Kong. There was this mom. He asked to fill a bottle with hot water so that she can make some formula milk for her baby. Baby was crying. I was amazed that the staff at the counter were unsure what to do with this simple request. Apparently, it is not in their work procedure. the staff had been reduced to a front counter service staff, and the mother has been reduced to be a customer, when both of them are actually humans. In situation like this, human knows what to do. They help the other person. So if we are not careful, we become like the staff at the counter. We think we are living well when we are not. We are created by God to be a human. And human has far greater purpose and responsibilities than passing exams and finishing assignments or finding the perfect job or finding the perfect partner. And what is this purpose? According to Paul in chapter 4, verse 1, our purpose in life is to please God. You are created to please God. Surprise? Put up your hands if you are. No one is surprised. One? Anyone? So the rest of you are living perfectly well, pleasing God, I think. Yes. No? Boy, how you miss out on being a human. Right? You've been hacked. Somebody has planted a virus in you. And you're infected, corrupted. You're not functioning as you should be. You need to be rebooted and reprogrammed. Now, in Australia, when you buy a product, okay, you're protected by the consumer law. This, okay? Am I blocking? Supplier guarantees that the product are fit for purpose. What it means is that what you buy must do the job you were told it would. The product pleases you when it does exactly what you want it to do. Otherwise, you can return the product to the supplier and get a refund, right? You know you're protected by this law. Anything you buy, yeah? You're not happy, bring it back, okay? Because it doesn't fit your purpose. So we are designed to please God. Everything in your being is designed to do just that. When we become unfit for the purpose we are born, God has every right to return us to where we come from dust to dust. That's why the first man has to die and return to dust, because he was made from dust. On the other hand, when we live according to the purpose we are created, we'll become the person we are meant to be. We are able to do what we are made for. We become fulfilled and satisfied. And this is what it means to live well. To live well is to live to please God. If you truly know your great potential, see a lot of people jotting down notes. I'm very happy. If you truly know your great potential and the real benefits of pleasing God, you will not return to the ambition and the stupid plan the world is offering you. So little satisfaction would you get out from it. It's like having a 7-Eleven coffee instead of Vietnamese coffee, right? Yes. It's different. God has a better plan for you, a plan to make you fit for purpose. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Sanctified means made holy. Everyone knows that if you have been to ETC this year. Okay? And God wants you to be made holy. The Bible tells us that no one is holy except God. Holiness describes the majesty, the beauty, and the purity, and the moral perfection of who God is. Do you know what it means? God wants you to be like him. Not surgeon-like, not pilot-like, not nurse-like, engineer-like. So I don't think there's any comparison here. So what is it to be made holy, to be sanctified? And would you really want it? Right? Sounds good. But do you want it? You should be sanctified if you truly want to be somebody to be valued and loved. Because to be sanctified means to be chosen, to be set apart from the people of this world. In Leviticus 20:26, God demands, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the people, and then you should be mine." You are set apart to belong to God exclusively, to be special to God, you are very valuable to God. You are the pearl of great value that Jesus gives up everything for. No jobs can offer you that. And may I break it to you gently, no person in this world will love you this much. Do you want wellness, to be well? Do you want to think well, feel well, speak well, listen well, and to act well, and to do the right thing? If you want all those things, you want to be sanctified. If we are honest, we'll admit we don't always feel right, think right, and sometimes we desire to do the wrong things. That's because we are slaves to sin. Slave to sin is a sickness. It is our preoccupation to please ourselves. We're constantly thinking about how to please ourselves. We cannot help but sin, even though we know our thoughts, our actions are wrong and offensive to God. It causes us harm, relationship breakdown, addiction, unkind words to be spoken. To be sanctified means to be progressively freed from this disease. See, God cares about right and wrong. You see, God is not like this electricity. When you turn on a switch, it comes to you and lights up your life. God chooses. God only comes to those who desire to please him. Yeah? Those who are dependent on him to become alive and well. When Cindy and I were studying at Regent College in Vancouver, Canada, God impressed upon the hearts of my local pastor and his wife to adopt a child, although they already have 3 beautiful kids. So soon, their name is Barton and Heather, they found themselves in an orphanage in China. In this large hall with rows and rows of beds with babies and toddlers. So many of them had already stopped crying because there was no one to cuddle them or to respond to their needs. Barton and Heather were so affected by the scene that they have no words to describe the sadness and the total helplessness of the situation. They have to harden their hearts, to walk past the beds with babies crying for their attention, towards the baby boy that is set apart for them. And they look at the boy, the most beautiful boy in the world, in spite of his physical disability. And they could not wait to take this child home. But they can't. It would be months before the boy, now known as Joshua, could return with them to Vancouver. There are documents and immigration matters to be processed in China and in Canada. And they returned to Canada and waited. In the meantime, they are concerned with his well-being. They already emotionally attached to this boy. They've kept in touch. They try to meet his needs from Canada until they receive Joshua at their doorstep. God has adopted us into his family. If my pastor friends can care so much for the faraway adopted child, how much more will God care for us at this very moment? This is their picture, this last year taken. That's Joshua with his three beautiful children. Yeah. I couldn't make out whether this is the elder daughter or his wife. I dare not ask the question. If you look at my Facebook, you could see the moment he actually come home, they videotape the whole thing. It's a very moving scene, a picture of heaven. So God knows right now we are powerless to become morally blameless and holy like him. We can't do it. You and I cannot. That's why he sent Jesus to us. Jesus came to sanctify us. You know, the whole point of salvation is that we are made holy and blameless in God's sight. You are saved not because you are holy. You are saved so that you can become holy. So from the day you say, yes, Jesus is Lord, you receive the holiness in Christ. By his blood, Jesus has made you clean. You are set apart for God and belong to him. For God only receives those who are cleansed by Jesus' blood into his family. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us, for without faith, no one can please God. So from this point onward, once you have received Jesus Christ, just like Joshua, who was still struggling with anxiety attacks in Canada, he had to adapt to his new life with this new family. Now that you are part of God's family, you too have to give up old habits and learn some new habits. Old habit dies hard. But you do this in the security of God's loving nurture and care of his Holy Spirit, just like Joshua in Canada. Look at chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 8. God has certain expectations for his family members. He has called every Christian to live a holy life. He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us out. The Spirit takes the holiness we receive from Jesus and apply it into our lives. You see the difference? You become a Christian, you receive the holiness of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit takes that holiness and apply it into you on your daily living. The Holy Spirit helps us to see our sin. He convicts us and strengthens our will and our desire for holiness. This is how we are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit in order to become well, to become fit for purpose. To live a holy life is to live well. But we cannot live a holy life by our own strength or by our own will. To become holy is a joint venture between God and you. Yeah, let me illustrate this point. Like a farmer who plows the land, he sows the seed, he fertilizes it and cultivates. He knows he cannot produce the rain or sunshine. These things, he depends on God. The farmer cannot do what God must do, and God will not do what the farmer should do. Paul's instructions to the Thessalonians communicate precisely the point that we have a personal responsibility for our growth in holiness. We can summarize his instruction as, to live a holy life is to hate the things God hates and to love the things God loves. This should be our new desire. Because God is holy, he wants his children to be holy. Makes sense, right? And because God is holy, he hates sin. If you want a scriptures on that, I can give it to you. This long list for that. And he doesn't want his children to have anything to do with it. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. You should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. Right? Sex is God's gift for a husband and wife to express intimacy, okay, for one another and to make babies. Sex outside marriage is called sexual immorality. So when we commit sexual immorality, we are saying to God, you're such a lousy designer. Let me tell you other ways to enjoy sex. We know better than you. When we sin, every sin, we despise God. We directly challenge God's authority in the way he designed his world. To my dear brothers and sisters, as international students, we are especially vulnerable emotionally. So I encourage you to watch out for one another. Guard your hearts. Just as Paul warns in chapter 4, verse 6, be warned, don't mess around with God's possessions, his people, because God will not hesitate to discipline his children. God loves his family, and even those who are yet to be part of the family, do you love them? From chapter 4, verse 10, Paul encourages us to love one another more and more. It is in the little things we extend our love to our friends at UTS. We can call them, message them, ask them how they are, and encourage them. Share Christ with them. Invite them to small group public talks or even social with your friends. And pray for the person you have met. Pray that they are well. When you love others, regardless of their response, you have experienced self-forgetfulness. Self-forgetfulness is what you will experience when you stand in the presence of God. But take heart, my brothers and sisters. Because of Jesus, we have the freedom to resist sin. Your desire for holiness is a sign that the Spirit is working in you. On the other hand, if anyone wants salvation, yet has no desire for holiness, they should know Satan wants that kind of salvation too. So your life has changed. Now that you have this new desire, when you struggle with sin, it sets you apart from the world. Just as little Joshua begins to imitate his new parents, God has moved into your life to conform you to his character. Slowly, surely, day by day, years after years. Now we may never reach like sinless perfection, like be perfect in this life. But when we live in obedience to and dependence on the Holy Spirit, we confess our sin and we read the Bible, we know God is faithful to give us the holiness we long for one day. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12. So let us make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It's a challenging word for myself, and I trust that it's for everyone as well. We are thankful that you want us to be well, and you do not want us to damage ourselves even more further with our sins. And help us, Lord, be gentle with us. Help us to walk in your ways. Make us well, to think well, to feel well. And to love well through your Spirit. We thank you for giving us the hope that we may see you face to face one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's a piece of paper. Just how much time? 2 minutes. Okay, how do we please God? And what's the benefits of pleasing God? You can talk to the person next to you. I'll be doing groups of three. Yep. See you. Thank you for coming. Bye. I'm glad you're happy after the talk. Huh? All right. Yes. Sorry, is this yours?
Yeah.
I think also in the adult world, sometimes you have to make